listening to Vet Candy.
Hello, Vet Candy listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of Vet Candy IRL. And I am your host, Shannon Gregoire. And today we have someone super special for you guys to meet today. She has written a fantastic book called A Memoir of Griffin's Heart. And it's about, I'll let her tell you mostly, but it's a grief tool for when, I mean, we all love our pets and they all are such a huge part of our lives that when they pass, it's an extremely hard struggle to deal with. And I've lost a couple recently myself. So it's something that's close to my heart and close to my co-host's heart as well. So please welcome Miss Reagan Pasternak.
How's it going?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah, thanks for being on today. So give us a little bit of background on you and kind of how you came to write this book.
Well, I'm a Canadian originally. I'm an actress and I live in Los Angeles and I've been living here for about 10 years. I'm also a humongous animal lover. And what happened was I lost I call him my soulmate animal, Griffin, because I've always had tons of animals, but he completely broke my heart when he passed. And to this day, and it's been over 10 years, I could start crying when I talk about him because he was just my baby. And the shock of how brutal it was to lose him and how it wasn't going away, the pain just started making me actually feel very isolated and felt very almost shy talking about it. And I kept thinking, okay, the pain should be gone by now. And gradually it ended up, I started having anxiety and I all these other things started happening. And I really believe now it was from just suppressing those feelings. And so I started getting help for it and talking to an amazing therapist about it and who really just validated my feelings and allowed me to express them. So I started writing down what that experience was for me. And that's kind of how it all started. And I started just writing down in a memoir kind of way, I guess, unintentionally, that what it meant to lose an animal. And gradually, I mean, and I am an actress, like I said, so I was, I was working on lots of shows in the meantime. So I kept putting it down and thinking, what do I want this to be? I didn't want this big, heavy book while somebody's in that kind of grief. So then gradually, as time was going on, I started realizing I wanted it to be interactive and I wanted it to be a keepsake and I wanted it to be a way to commemorate and move through the hard part of grief into what do we learn from it. And it just started coming together in that way and just feeling very right. That's a long-winded answer to your question. Get used to it with me. I can't stop talking sometimes.
Oh, no, that's good. No, it's good to hear, like, because every book has its beginnings and it's really interesting to see what, inspires someone to write something like that. So I guess my next question would be, like, if someone like loses a pet and they get this book, like what would they expect? Like what kind of journey does the book take them on when they use it?
The best thing has been getting all these letters from people now and emails and messages. It's blowing my mind, the connection that I'm having with these strangers who are going through that experience. And what I'm getting the most and has felt the most important to me is that I did write it with the idea that I'm sitting down one-on-one, hanging out with a person who's feeling the way that I felt. And I literally, before I wrote, when I committed to finishing that book, I sat and I just thought, I am sitting with a person right now. I'm sitting with me, who I needed. I needed the person that I needed when I was going through this. And I think that the book is a friend. And I've had that message now a few times from people just saying, I feel like you're a friend and I didn't even know you before. And so what they can expect is to sit and they will hear my experience and then they will have a space to write about their experience in every little aspect. And what I wanted to do is also like rewire the way we're thinking when we're in that sad state to remember we're sad because of all the good. And, you know, and so if we stick into that sad part, then we're not even really honoring that animal. You know, we're forgetting all the amazing things they gave us. It makes me want to cry because I just actually lost one of my dogs too. I could cry all the time with it, but
no, it's okay. I'm getting emotional too. It's okay.
Because while I'm talking about it, I'm thinking about how I felt it all over again. You know, it just, it's a real pain and it's a real grief. And what a reader can expect is to have a friend walking them through it and getting them to we're both sitting bawling our eyes out. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so they can expect that, and they can also expect, you know, I tried to make it as beautiful and on the best quality paper so that people can put photos in it and have it as a keepsake, and it comes in a case and it has pockets for cards or anything that you've gotten that you don't know what to do with. So they can expect to have a tribute. I went through my own book for my dog that just passed away, and it felt really good actually to let the pain out. And yeah, they can expect to have a friend and a tribute, maybe is the answer to that question.
Yeah, no, I when I went home for Christmas from California, I visited my family, and my dog had taken a turn for the worse. Like he was almost 11, right? And it's just like, you know, he's starting to lose his ability to really have a good quality of life. So I kind of said my goodbyes during Christmas, and then it broke my heart when my family had to put him down when I wasn't home. But I mean, I was like the strong one for them, and I reassured them that it was the right decision being a medical professional, you know? But like seeing them struggle and not being able to help them through it when I was far away, it was difficult, but I knew it was the best thing for him to do at the time. So that's one of the biggest roles we have as veterinarians, is to help people with that time. And it's never easy, but people aren't alone going through that loss. And it's really amazing, that book that you have, to also help people if they don't want to, you know, go through that loss in public, to just have something that they can go through by themselves and kind of just remember everything that's good. And, you know, we feel that loss because of, you were right, like the immense happiness they brought to your life, and then it's gone, but you know, eventually we'll see them again someday. So
I hope so. I hope you're right. And I believe it too. And I really hope you're right. And everything you just said, oh my gosh, I've been there, and I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. I have the most amazing vet who came to our house while we said goodbye. Oh my gosh, this is people, poor people who are listening to this. Oh, this,
but, I know, it's a heavy episode. It's heavy.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. If you are like me, you want to improve your skills. And for many of us in the veterinary field, that means improving your clinical confidence. That's why Vet Candy created a master course in respiratory disease. The master course provides veterinary professionals with focused education on asthma, bronchitis, and other respiratory disease. The program is taught by a board-certified criticalist and delivers a thorough evaluation of the science and clinical practice skills needed to master respiratory conditions disease, from diagnosis and management to client counseling. And what's even more exciting? The course is free and provides RACE and New York State-approved continuing education credits. Plus, when you complete the modular master course, you earn a certificate of completion as a certified respiratory educator and exclusive tools to celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. This master course is brought to you by Trudell Animal Health, the makers of the AeroCat Chamber. You can start by helping your patients breathe better by taking it for free today at myvetcandy.com/respiratory.
The thing is, actually, you know, you saying that is, you know, I'm crying, and my book is about allowing all those feelings. So I don't want to shun that in any way. But I will say, although my book is going to make somebody cry, there's no question about it. But it's almost like a form of cognitive therapy of rewiring the way you're thinking about things. And the truth is, it actually is an uplifting book. It really actually, that's the feedback that I've been getting. It really, it's a release of the emotions and also a way to get out that all, you know, how did your, I call them beings throughout the book. And I just didn't like pet. It's just not enough for what they mean to us. But I talk about, like, I ask, so how did your being get his name, their name, or all the idiosyncrasies that made them silly or funny. And so you're writing out these things, and you're also, I mean, and I can hear it in my voice, and I could hear it when you were just telling your story. There's a lot of breathing exercises through it, because breath, you know, is completely hindered by grief. And then you get wrapped up in those things. So actually, you know, I kept that in mind the whole time, so that if somebody has, you know, is saying goodbye to their animal, it's a way to kind of get through it, because I had no clue how to get through it. And even when I just went through it again, I had no clue how to get through it. Walking through the book, I'm like, okay, yes, this is how I'm going to get through it and feel like I'm honoring him and not just pushing, you know, his memory away. I was going to say, our vet who came here to say goodbye to my dog who just passed, I just, his kindness and his, you know, his strength, it meant so much to us. I mean, I couldn't have had it any other way. And I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. And I'm so grateful to you guys. And I really mean that. That is a hard job you guys have to do. And I so grateful, so grateful.
I mean, it's definitely the most difficult part of our job, but I mean, I guess, you know, we're just lucky to have that opportunity to end that suffering and do it in a way that's respectful and, you know, easy for the animal and the family member too. So it's definitely an emotional turmoil of events, but definitely a great way to really show our love for the profession is to help, you know, animals kind of pass on with dignity and ease. So. Aside from that, what's your favorite letter, I guess, that you've gotten recently from someone who's used your book?
Oh my goodness. I have gotten so many that I read them to my husband when I know that they're not just one line, just like, oh, I loved your book. Or if it's anything more than that, I sit and I read them to my husband and I bawl my eyes out while I read them. That's what these strangers don't know. They don't realize how much I'm appreciating it all. And there was a girl who wrote me just recently, and it was that she said that her mom had got her the book, and she said to her mom, she wanted to look me up and see what I looked like and who I was. She goes, Mom, I'm going to go see my friend now, because she felt like I was had become this friend to her, and just telling me how much it meant to her. You know, that's the thing. You know, when I wrote this book, it really, it's so cliche to say, but it completely just came from my heart. It's so completely authentically who I am. This book is completely me. And so I forgot that I'm going to be actually hearing from people. And I forgot that, people are actually going to buy this book. I'm a very artist-minded person. I forget about that. My husband, thank God, is not, and is a very businessy guy and keeps me on track. But yeah, I forgot about the part that I would be hearing from people. And her letter, I cried so hard reading her letter for just how much I related to her. And I just felt really grateful. I felt like, who am I to be helping people? And yet I am. And it feels so amazing. And I'm honored. I'm really, really honored. And yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the biggest things that really make people come together are love and loss, right? So it's those two big uniting things, either, you know, when you have share a common love or share a common experience involving some high emotion, like a loss is really, really brings people together.
And I've been also getting photos of people who have the book with them, who they'll put the book next to the ashes that they've gotten back. Whew, that's hit me hard too, because I've got a few of those photos now from strangers, you know, and that's exactly what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be a way to hold on to memories, and that's just been awesome. It's just been so rewarding, and just made me feel like it was, you know, such so worthwhile, because it was a long journey writing this one. So yeah, so.
That's awesome. Or do you have other pets or have gotten any others since you had lost yours?
Oh my gosh. So when Griffin passed away, I had Griffin and his sister Cleo, who were two Devon Rexes, which are these weird, crazy looking alien cats, and they're amazing. They're so smart and they're like monkeys. They're just amazing creatures. And after they passed away, after Griffin died, I was so completely heartbroken. And I talk about this in the book that I immediately needed something else as a Band-Aid, you know, and that's why the cover of the book has a Band-Aid on the heart, because my husband painted me a photo. I painted me a picture of a girl getting a Band-Aid on her heart. But so I went and I got our cat Murmur, who we named him Murmur after Griffin's heart murmur. And, you know, nothing was really replacing Griffin, and which now I realize that nobody's supposed to replace Griffin. But I got Murmur for that. And then I got a dog, Jed, who's the one who just passed away. You know, I fell madly in love with them both, but nobody replaced Griffin. And that's an important thing to remember when you lose an animal, if you decide to get somebody new, that they're never going to replace them. They're going to be a new adventure. And that takes time to kind of accept, you know? And so since then I've become such an animal rescuer, and I now have a dog named Luna, who's a tiny little beautiful mutt that I got, that was supposed to be a foster. I have a giant Great Pyrenees that I got from a rescue in Canada. And I have, right now, I have four rescue, we've been fostering a mom and baby cats. So I have a mom and her four babies here. It's making us nuts. They're running around like crazy, and they're super cute. And and then I have a little Siamese cat that was found on the Sony lot here in LA. So yeah.
You got quite a crew going on. Your own film crew of animals. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I've been fostering dogs and stuff back here in LA too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that need it.
Oh so. Yeah, absolutely. And I do it with this great adoption agency. But because I travel a lot for school, so it's easy for me to like tell them when I'm around and like, hey, I can help out for like this amount of time until I have to travel somewhere, because I would hate having to drag a dog around with me when I'm bopping around from place to place. So whenever I'm here, I help out. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know how much that stuff is needed. I mean, the pandemic has made, you know, the rescues, as I'm sure you know, the rescues emptied out quite a bit during the pandemic, but a lot of those animals are being returned now, sadly. So yeah, it is sad. It is sad, but hopefully some of them are going to have forever homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cross our fingers that they will. Yeah, it was crazy how all those shelters emptied at the beginning of COVID. It was crazy. You were seeing stories from everywhere that people had the shelters that were completely empty for the first time ever. So it was nuts.
Yeah, it really was amazing. It was the silver lining of the whole thing.
Well, a lot of people are still working from home, so hopefully they can still make those little nuggets work in their life.
It's so true. And there's so many resources to get dog walkers and things like that now as well. So people always have options. I hope they know that, to get help for their animals. Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Pet parents, this is your favorite lifestyle guru, Renee Michelle, and I'm excited to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy. Join me and make some cute pet stuff. Talk about life and love and everything in between. Check out the Renee Michelle show on mypetcandy.com and let's have some fun.
Well, here at Vet Candy IRL, we are going to sponsor a giveaway for your book. We're going to give away a couple copies of The Griffin's Heart for anyone that is listening and needs a little help going through the grief of a lost pet. If you want to either make a memorial post about your pet and tag at @MyVetCandy, or you can send us even a DM if you want to share your story with us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you either send us a DM with your story, or do a post and tag at @MyVetCandy, We will be entering you into a raffle to win one of the copies of Ms. Pasternak's book, and hopefully it'll help you as much as it has helped a lot of other people. When you were beginning to write the book, if you were to look back, is there anything that you would have like done differently or would have told yourself at the beginning that you learned from the journey of writing a book like that?
I really feel like it all came together exactly how it was supposed to. There was so much synchronicity to the whole thing. It just, I don't know. I don't think I have any regrets because it was the journey that ended up getting down on paper, you know. I think something that you'd said earlier is 100% true. And, you know, it's not just true for animal grief. It's true for grief in general, is that we kind of are responsible for cultivating our own safe space to grieve anybody, whether it's a human or an animal. And grief is private because nobody can possibly understand what somebody you love means to you. Nobody can. So I always tell people when they're saying, I'm getting through the book slowly because it's a lot right now, I'm feeling very raw. I say, do 2 minutes a day, do whatever it takes and whatever, just a little, if that's, some people can get through it right away, but some people can't. And, you know, it's your responsibility in a good way, your responsibility. It's your power really to cultivate that space. And I wish I had known that maybe at the beginning when I was mourning Griffin, because I didn't know how to do it. And and so now doing it with Jed, my puppy, I feel like I have so much of a better handle on just not expecting anyone to get it. I have to get it myself. And that's validation enough.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve on how to deal with loss and grief like that. And then to kind of like accept what has happened and then turn it into a positive thing by like, you know, remembering and honoring their life and, you know, maybe, you know, taking your time to kind of have that grief period and like letting yourself heal and, you know, just remembering all the good things so that, you know, it is sad, but I'm not someone who likes to really wallow in the sadness. Mm-hmm. Like I go through that grief process, but then I always want to like remember the best parts and you bring that with you in the future is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that is exactly what it's all about. And I would even rephrase that from wallowing to allowing the pain to be there, but remembering always, why do I feel this pain? It's because I love them. Why did you love them? And then all of a sudden you can think of their essence and you can kind of just breathe that in for a bit, or you can remember all the good that you did for them. I have a whole chapter on guilt because so many people have so much guilt for so many reasons when they lose an animal. And it's almost like, okay, feel the guilt. Let's get through the guilt. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. You'll never know. Animals can't speak to us. They can't tell us, but you're allowed to feel that. And now write the three things that you did, that you showed their your love. And usually you start writing one and you start remembering and it really does. It's almost like putting a wet cloth on a flame in a way. Cause you remember that, yeah, okay, I'm clinging to this one thing of 11 years, you know, of a life, you know, or whatever it is. And when you're upset, like how I can see you're upset and the way I feel and my readers have felt after losing an animal, it's usually because you were an amazing animal owner. it really usually is that. So the guilt makes me sad for people because it's there because you loved that animal the best way. And you should be proud of yourself. Everybody who loved their animal should feel so proud of themselves for that. And
yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of time the guilt, you know, when people are trying to decide when it's time or trying to decide, you know, what they should do, and they should, you know, I hope people feel, you know, good about their decision when they're doing it in what they think is the best interest of their animal, right? So they're trying to do the best with their animal and consulting with their veterinarian and having them help them, you know, kind of give them the medical perspective and then with their perspective of their own animal, because no one knows your animal better than you. So, you know, kind of taking those two points of view and putting them together and really going through that together is super important. And I hope people really, if them and their veterinarian decide that it's time, then, you know, that's probably the right decision. And to, you know, not feel guilty about wanting to, you know, give them an ease to their suffering or an ease to their pain or anything, because it's not an easy thing to go through, but sometimes it's necessary in order to keep them, you know, with dignity.
From really suffering. Yeah. From really, really, really suffering. I know. And to remember that the guilt is just a normal part of grief, and breathe it in, let it sit there. Remember, most people are feeling that same way. And then go to the good part, go back to the love, just always go back to the love. Cause that's the way to heal the grief. The grief is, you can't just say, oh, I shouldn't feel guilty, and then not. You have to kind of work through it. And how you work through it is remembering the good and all the, sometimes the vet bill is the reminder that you worked really hard to keep that animal alive as much as you could, you know. It's those things that, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah. It's definitely, given my accolades to everybody that, you know, has to, I mean, veterinarians everywhere do that, and to the people that are listening that, you know, either recently have had to do that or are thinking they might need to do that in the future, that it's, you know, this book is super helpful. You know, there's people that feel the same way as you and that your veterinary team feels for you probably a lot more than they show.
Absolutely. No, that I've been learning so much about that, just what vets go through. I've been really realizing how difficult that profession can be. It's getting a little bit more of a spotlight on it, just showing what vets have to go through, especially when they're putting animals down for various reasons. And that's just really hard. It's hard on the human spirit, especially if you go into the veterinary field, you are for sure an empathetic person. Cause I think people who connect to animals are just naturally empathetic. So right, it's going to hit you really hard.
Yeah. That's, you know, our profession definitely is a bunch of empathetic people, and for, you know, the best reasons. And I'm so glad that this book is available for people to use that and kind of process all these, you know, big, heavy emotions that, you know, everyone goes through. And some people, you know, they all process it a little bit different and a little bit of, you know, different timelines. So that's awesome. And it's a great memory for him too. So that's like the epitome of, you know, making their memory live on forever, is writing a book about that's, you know, honored to them. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I sometimes see his little photo and I'm like, this was for you. All this press I'm doing, all this, everything that I'm doing for this book, it was all because of that sweet little animal who just right, graced my life for a while. It's the best.
Exactly. Well, other than this book, are you in anything recently? Are you filming anything?
I just finished shooting the first season of a new sitcom that's going to be out in July. I do a reoccurring on it, so I'm in and out, but it's a really hilarious show and hilarious character called Miss Pat. It's on BET. Me Blondie is on BET somehow. I never thought it would happen, but it's the best. And the cast is just so brilliant. Yeah. So look out for it. Miss Pat. It is edgy and hysterically funny. So yeah, that's coming out in July. And then since that, I've been just doing the rounds for Griffin's Heart. So that's what I've been trying to focus on right now.
That's awesome. Well, I'll have to check that out in July. That's super exciting.
it's a crazy show. Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Pasternak, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my God, it ended up being, a heart to heart.
It was. Oh my God, I feel like we both put our hearts on this podcast.
Actually, I honestly think I kind of needed it. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you too. It was a lot, but it was good. It was like a little therapy session this episode.
Same for me. Sometimes you need it.
Yeah, sometimes you do, you know. So, you know, we're the Vet Candy family is here for our listeners. So if you guys ever need someone to talk to or reach out, don't hesitate, you know, any of the co-hosts or even Vet Candy will be more than happy to chat with you guys. So, you know, reach out. We don't want anyone to feel like they're ever alone or can't go through this by themselves. So either reach out to us, grab a book, call someone, you know, something like that. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Vet Candy IRL. I hope to see you on the next episode and, you know, tell someone you love them today. Bye, guys.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.